I am someone who...
Well, look, I've heard your view, Mr. Espinar, and I've heard Mr. Soper's view. I'd like the public actually to hear, just briefly, our view.
Now, Mr. Peters, I'd like to ask you about a statement that you put out when you were in Washington that contained several untruths. One was an unplanned intrusion by the New Zealand media. Now, you know that the media was invited in to ask Mr. McCain questions.
No, I don't know that at all. No, I don't.
Well, why don't you know that?
Let me tell you the truth. The truth was that you were advised by my officers that there would be a third opportunity, as there always is, that there would be a press conference following the meeting, which you would think logically and reasonably would be what would happen, because you'd actually want to know what happened at the meeting, after the meeting, not before it. That seems to me sort of be terribly reasonable, and Senator McCain made it very clear to me as we left. And there is a person who was a journalist there who will back up my story.
But Mr. Peters, let me finish.
Don't be rude again. We have that in the United States to the great misfortune of New Zealand.
Mr. Peters, and my point, attacks.
Well, can I just get on with the point I'm making? I'm getting on the point I'm making, which is simply this. That you were told what the format was to be.
Yes.
That's the format, you will note, that was also followed in the meeting with Condoleezza Rice.
But Mr. Peters, now, no, no, no. McCain's own advisor.
Excuse me.
Does that point not resonate with you?
Now, what resonates with me is that having made that arrangement, you went around to the McCain advisor, behind your Minister of Foreign Affairs back, and I might say Mr. McCain's back. You can make your protestations. You've told the country a tissue of lies. I'm here to tell the truth. And I'd like to get my story out because you've had 2 days to spread a tissue of lies.
Mr. Espinar,
you'll keep quiet while I'm speaking. Is that okay?
Sure.
Right. If you want an answer, you'll get an answer, and you won't get what you have put out by way of a perversion. Look, the simple fact is, we went there to achieve an outcome. That outcome, as Chris Hill says, was completely successful. I think that the surrounding contretemps is a total nonsense.
Can I just run past Mr. Peters, you mentioned tissues of lies. Can I run past two that you made in your statement to the New Zealand public? One was the media arrived late at the meeting. Now, you saw us there when you arrived. So you would have known we were there before you. Second one is, we arrived late, so did you. Second one is that we were admitted by Senator McCain's, you said secretary, it was his media communications manager, partway through the meeting. You know the meeting hadn't even begun.
Oh, that's a total lie. Let me tell you why. Show the media, the public, the full television tape, which was going when you came into the room. Show them the whole lot, not just the little parts that sort of support your misrepresentation, but the full tape. I've made that challenge to you. Now, let's just put it out there, because this is an important matter. The fact is, we were not late to the meeting, number one. Senator McCain saw us at his convenience, number two. Number three, you came in after the bilateral meeting had started, and that's a fact, as all of my foreign affairs officials and my staff know. We were well underway on the issues of we're about to talk about, when in came the media. I didn't mind that because it was a photo opportunity. I didn't know that you were there because I didn't personally see you, and that's a fact, and so my staff might have. But
passes in the corridor, Mr. Peters.
Excuse me.
You said hello.
Well, look, excuse me. You might have got another meeting confused, but I personally would not have been focused on that. I was focused on seeing Mr. McCain, and the last thing I want to say is simply this. You were told by a staff member here what the arrangement was. Why did you change it?
Mr. Peters, regardless of the detail, you know, maybe you didn't know the questions were going to be asked when or where, but why was it that you decided to cut off a potential president who was sitting in New Zealand's president?
What was it that worried you so much? Worried me. You asked for two questions.
No, we did not ask for two questions.
I'm sorry, the request came for a couple of questions. Excuse me, I'm not going to overtalk you. Well, you're not overtalking me.
Just stop for a second.
I've heard you out. Now show the tape where the person you're talking about asked whether you could have a couple of questions. Please show the tape.
Who was it who asked for two questions?
Well, you've got the tape.
Who was it that asked, Mr. Peters?
TV1's got the tape.
Who was it that asked, Mr.
I'm
Peters?
Saying to you again, you've got the tape. Please show it.
It won't support your view.
Right? Oh, it won't. Well, please show the public first, the full tape.
Mr. Peters.
Now, don't come along here half-cocked. I've made a challenge to you, which is pretty straightforward. Show the full tape.
Did you hear
Senator
McCain?
We're playing that tape tonight. Will you appear to discuss it?
Well, I'd love to appear to discuss it.
Okay, so we'll play the tape.
Unfortunately, I'm on a 6 o'clock flight, but if I can, I'll do it.
But Mr. Peters, did you hear Senator McCain say?
We'd love to have you on.
Well, I wish you'd asked a bit earlier, but because I'm flying to KL tomorrow, but if I can, I'll do it.
You've got to
say
the whole unedited version for you to be able
wonderful,
to.
Wonderful, wonderful. You can do that. I'll delay my flight so the public might hear for the first time the truth.
You do that for the close-up program?
Most certainly, yes.
Fantastic.
So it's me and the close-up program?
It's you and the tape.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
Mr. Peters, did you hear Senator McCain say anything to the New Zealand media? That's what I would say.
What he did do was look at me hard as to what this meant. I looked at him, I sort of signaled that, well, I didn't mind a couple of questions.
Well, you said no initially, Mr. Peters.
Well, because
you said you did mind.
Because you had been advised that there was going to be...
No, we hadn't been advised.
Well, I'm sorry, I got a witness here that said you were.
Well, Graham Harding. We asked Graham Harding, your chief of staff, for a briefing.
Oh, Barry, I've heard you gurgle on for days on the media.
We haven't
been telling lies.
We asked Graham Harding
now, Barry,
on the Tuesday morning
Barry,
for a briefing,
don't
and we were unable to get one.
Barry, don't get excited. If you think I'm not telling the truth, sue me.
I do think you're not telling
the truth. Well, go ahead and sue me then. Go ahead and sue me then.
But, Mr. Peters, you know...
But I've got the tape on my side. I've got Senator McCain's staff on my side. I have my own staff on my side.
Well,
and I am telling
you?
The truth.
So you really think this was worth it, do you? You think even... Let's say we had made an agreement and there were only two questions and we asked three. You really...
And I asked six, actually.
Just hang on a second. I haven't interrupted you. You really
no. Look, Guy, with respect... I had a bilateral meeting arranged with Senator McCain. He happens to be a person who's dealt with the issue of
so
a free trade.
So you derailed the whole thing.
I derailed your press conference, did I? It was a bilateral meeting. I've got 30 minutes to deal with a very important man.
I think 2.5 minutes
every minute counted, and you were promised a press conference after
the
meeting.
So you don't regret what you did?
Now, let me just tell you this. No, I don't regret it at all. I regret your arrogance. You know what I do regret? When McCain left the office with me to come and see you, you were all gone. But one member.
You booted us out.
No, I didn't boot you out. I told you this is not going to be a press conference.
Mr. Peters, given that this was such a...
Oh, look, you're an experienced journalist. Have you ever had a bilateral meeting interrupted by a press conference?
Well,
no.
I'm not a minister of foreign
affairs. Could you not have made
Mr. Peters,
exception?
Sorry.
Look, I've got half an hour. The Prime Minister agreed with me, you've got half an hour, Winston, to talk on very important issues. Every minute mattered.
Mr. Peters, given that this was such an important meeting for you, this is such an important trip for you, why was it made so difficult for the media to know where you were, when you were meeting, whether or not they'd have a press conference afterwards, to get briefings ahead of meetings?
If you actually check with Radio Tirana's record, well, you can laugh, but this is about chronological evidence.
Your only ally.
If you, he may be someone who hasn't been plundered by the pretensions to experience which you have, Mr. Sofa, but let me just say, if you go get the transcript of all of their coverage, they were advised months in advance that this might happen.
We were told 2 days in advance that you were going.
This is exactly the point, Mr. Peters. The New Zealand media here...
Excuse me, go and look at the press statement that was put out well before I went. You got, yes, Friday for Tuesday. It's not bad.
There was no meeting.
I'm told by Mr. Goff's press officer that now works for me, but that's exactly the advice structure that they've followed for years.
Okay, but what is the meeting with you?
The press officer who's in charge of this says to me that's precisely what's been happening for years.
Why didn't he go with you?
Why didn't
he go to Washington?
Well, it's cost, and cost matters.
Okay, so why, given that he wasn't there, was it a final accounts made?
Well, I've never taken a press day officer with me on these matters.
Okay, but the media that were there say that it was very hard for them to know where you were going to be, who you were going to be meeting, and whether or not they were going to be able to talk to you or the people you were meeting.
Well, you know, I put out a press statement days beforehand saying who we'd meet. People were given advice well in advance of where the meeting would be held, the likely chance of being able to access the meeting because of security issues. All that was done well in advance, so I don't get the problem.
Given this experience, are you going to change the way you do these trips? Are you going to take some...
Oh, look, most certainly not. We're not going to change that at all. We've followed the long-running regime of previous ministers in terms of announcements and timing. I mean, I appreciate the fact that Condoleezza Rice, given the fact that you had this Lebanon thing blow up close up to the event of our going to Washington, might have been a problem. That had to be firmed up in the closing days. Even the last day, we had to change the 11 o'clock meeting till 3:30. That's understandable, but, you know, people have got to live with other people's diaries as well, and so do I.
The Prime Minister says that she wouldn't handle this the way that you have handled it.
He feels slightly embarrassed.
No, I don't feel embarrassed at all, because I was there and I sought to ensure that this was not going to happen to a very senior person who may well be the next US president. But better still, he apologised to me on leaving the meeting. There's a witness to that as well.
She said she's going to provide you with a media minder for your future.
It's very kind of us, but a very kind offer, but I can tell you, I have one, and things are going fine.
So will you be taking her? She suggested that you take a press.
Look, matters of cost are very uppermost on my mind. I've always run frugal administrations, as you well know. We even fly economy class on many of these trips, so I'm not going to expand the cost when it's not required. All it requires, of course, is a bit of old-fashioned media professionalism and courtesy.
Well, this comes from the Prime Minister, actually.
Yeah, but look, I was there.
No, this direction has come from
the Prime Minister. Yeah, but if you're going to be the recipient of misinformation, as New Zealand largely was, then I'm going to correct it. I'll make one last challenge to you. Wouldn't you want to wait and hear the whole tape first?
I'm not talking about that, Mr. Minister.
Well, if you want to rush to judgment without the facts, that's a very bad way of doing your job.
Possibly define the Prime Minister.
Have you released a copy of your itinerary for ASEAN that I understand you're leaving tomorrow?
The ASEAN itinerary is set, but it's set in circumstances where the meetings are private. And it's also variable. Even the agenda becomes variable, even in the closing 2 or 3 hours. That has never been one easy to fix on, and I've taken my advice from my staff and the previous press people with respect to these meetings, and it's slightly different because there are 4 critically important meetings happening there. As to how and when it'll happen is not exactly known, and of course, that in terms of the media, it's very tightly controlled.
Did you release an itinerary for your Washington trip?
Yes, I released the full agenda of people, full list of who I was going to see, and then when I knew that people could be ready on that day, we gave advice to the media as to who we were seeing and when and where.
How did you provide advice?
Over the phone?
Who
to all the media who were present in Washington.
Mr. Peters, your advisor couldn't even tell us where those buildings were. Pardon? Your advisor couldn't even tell us where those buildings were.
Well, I'm sorry, if you don't know where Congress is or where the State Department is or where the Senate is, I can't help you.
Don't you think there's such a significant...
I mean, you're meant to be an experienced journalist. Now, if you don't know where the State Department is, it's a bit difficult for me to start giving you a map.
That's
your point. You just said you didn't know where the building was. Well, I don't think I'm required to give that detail.
You know, as well as anyone else, that when a foreign minister or a prime minister travels abroad, you would get a schedule about where and when they're meeting and what the media opportunities were. There was nothing on paper at any time.
No, because there were issues of security since 9/11. A lot of things have changed, obviously. The Americans made it very clear to us the level of access and what the difficulty would be. And we are trying to accommodate the circumstances around that.
Are you saying that the Americans wouldn't allow you to put out a written itinerary of when and where the meetings were and what the media opportunities were?
No, what I'm saying is that because of the fact that the House was sitting, that there were votes going on as we speak, that we spoke, and that the stem cell matter was a huge issue in that country, and ministers were apologising for not, senators were apologising for not being able to be on time or deferring things. We understood the circumstances. We all have to work around it.
Doesn't that mean that you probably should have worked with the New Zealand media even more under those circumstances?
Look, with respect, it wasn't about New Zealand media. This is about foreign policy and a better relationship with the United States. That is the only issue I am concerned for the New Zealand people to understand. Not how a few journalists might have got their nose out of it.
How would the public work that out then? How would the public know what you're doing?
That's a marvellous question, given the reportage. Today you've got a chance to put the record straight.
No, Mr. Peters. Watch close up tonight.
Watch close up tonight and you'll hear the real truth.
On close up, you see the Senator suggesting that he's happy for the New Zealand media to ask questions. If you wanted to
Can I ask my question? Yeah.
If you wanted to stop
him... Have you seen the full tape?
Yes, I have.
Right.
I have seen it several times, all 2.5 minutes. Mm. What I'm saying to you is if the Senator said anything for the New Zealand media, at that point, shouldn't you have said, I'm not comfortable with questions being asked, I want to answer them afterwards, rather than interrupt the Senator?
They asked for a couple of questions. Did you hear that part? Now, when they asked for a couple of questions, I was happy for a couple of questions
so
to happen.
So you've got 2.5 minutes.
But not six.
Mr. Peters, are you not splitting hairs here?
Oh, look, I'm not splitting hairs, but, when Christopher Hill says we shouldn't obsess with the past, why would it be a New Zealand journalist that raised the nuclear issue in a meeting with Senator McCain? I didn't raise it.
Mr. Peters,
I agree we should move on.
But you shouldn't be responsible necessarily for deciding...
Well, I'm trying to have a bilateral meeting which was interrupted, Now you think about that.
The senator's the one who asked the media.
Oh no, look, be reasonable, please. There's a bilateral meeting started with a person called Senator McCain, who may well be the next US president. Why would that be interrupted by questions then?
Because the senator invited the questions.
He didn't invite.
The secretary said.
Oh no! Don't give me the thumb back.
The tape shows the senator saying anything for the New Zealand.
Look, you
media.
Can construe things as you like, but don't tell me that they walked in there with an invitation from Senator McCain. He looked at me when this happened, because that is extraordinarily unusual. Next day, for example, and this is a fact. In this big press conference where there was a photograph opportunity, one American journalist shouted out to Condoleezza Rice the question. She said, nice try, so-and-so, and dismissed it.
Mr.
Because those things are handled post the meeting. Surely that's reasonable.
Yes, Mr. Peters, are you saying that you interrupted Senator McCain because you were unhappy about a question being asked about our nuclear stance and how that...
No. He'd answer that question.
But you've said that you didn't think that issue should have been raised, when surely...
I'm just saying... Here is a country seeking to put its position to a very important American senator who may well be the next president. Why is it being interrupted without any notice by a press conference? Where in the world have you seen that?
But you suggested that you weren't happy to the...
No, just look, put your head on here, put your finger cap on here. Where have you ever seen a bilateral start and become interrupted with a press conference?
Do you think that the New Zealand...
No, give me one example when you've seen that.
Do you think the New Zealand media should have said to the Senator and his press secretary, we won't ask questions, thank you very
no,
much,
they,
even
no,
though you
I think when
out.
The photo opportunity was over, and it was clear it was over, they should have said, if they wanted to question you after this meeting is over. The Senator came out with me having to have a press conference, no one's there.
The Senator's press secretary, though, interrupted the photo opportunity to suggest questions. Do you think at that point the media should have turned them
down? I wonder why we should have done that. It's because she's polite.
Because she might have wanted the senator to say some nice things about New Zealand that would have been
publicised. But why would she do that if she knew there was going to be a press conference after it?
Mr. Peters, do you want to improve your
relationship answer that question.
With the media?
Pardon?
Do you want to improve your relationship with the media?
Oh, look, I'm happy to work with any professional media in this country, anyone who's prepared to fit the facts, anyone who's prepared to ensure that what does happen, rather than someone who lip reads through steel doors and says he knows what's going on and he doesn't.
Do other ministers share your view as well of the New Zealand media?
Well, why don't you ask them?
My
colleague Mr. Cullen has a rather clear view of some things, and I happen to support him.
Mr. Peters, are you going to ignore the Prime Minister's advice regarding taking a press secretary?
Look, I'm not having advice passed on second hand. I spoke to the Prime Minister at length on a number of matters last night. There's no way that I would communicating with her via you, with respect. That's not how professionals act.
She's just actually said that at her post-cabinet.
Yeah, but that's not how professionals act. I'll deal with it. If the Prime Minister were to raise such an issue with me, I'll deal with it then, but I'm not going to deal with it at a press conference.
You are an experienced political strategist, so where's the wisdom in this and blaming the media for what the Prime Minister is portraying was really no more at the end of the day than a misunderstanding that created a lot of confusion.
Look, if Senator McCain was moved to put out a press statement debunking the allegation that I had seriously offended him, and he did, maybe you should believe McCain, maybe you should believe Chris Hill, and not what you've heard for 48 hours in New Zealand. That's my challenge to you. You're a professional. You're going to believe Winston Peters, Chris Hill and Senator McCain, or you're going to believe a couple of journalists who weren't there for all these meetings?
Why don't you take a professional media manager with you on these trips so that these are taken care of?
I like you, Ruth. Thanks for the offer. I have been in this job a lot for the length of time I've been in it, and I've been in it longer than anybody else right now in politics, without knowing something about how the media works. With respect, I'll work with every responsible journalist who seeks to print the truth as it happened, but I will not stand back and have my country's future distorted by people who have got their own agenda. It was not about the media. It was a bilateral meeting that had already started, and the tape verifies that. Every official with both Mr. McCain and myself will verify that. I've never seen that happen ever before, and nor have you, for if you have, please give me one example of it.
Well, you've got a history of prickly relationships with the media.
I'm sorry if I haven't got on with you, Ruth, as well as I should, but, you know, maybe you're partly to blame as well.
Well, is it about time to do something about it?
I beg your pardon?
Is it not about time to do something
look,
about it?
With respect, we came out of the last campaign with you telling the country what the outcome was going to be, and when it was all over, not one word you printed, Ruth, was worth the paper it was printed on at all. And New Zealanders had no idea at the end of the last election what was going to happen in the ensuing weeks. Some of us did.
Do you think you're slightly paranoid, Mr. Peters?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think you're slightly paranoid?
Well, hardly wouldn't have called this press conference otherwise.
Mr. Peters, how much of this has got to do with your role as Foreign Minister and you as being notorious Winston Peters?
Oh, well, there you go. See, now you're making a judgment not to do with your professional duties, but your personal one. Now, you know, perhaps you suggest you change to being a little bit more professional about these matters.
Mr. Peters, are you saying that you...
I mean, no, see, Joe Bloggs is not interested in your editorialising. He's interested, and she's interested in the facts.
Are you saying that you're unhappy that the Prime Minister has raised the suggestion of you taking a professional media personal?
Well, look, the Prime Minister...
The media
I had a lengthy talk with the Prime Minister. She entirely understood the circumstance because she had a direct report out of America to her office.
Okay, well,
That report was of a most successful trip to the United States, and I'm pleased about that. That's all I'm concerned about.
But now that she's
that a 22-year stalemate may be changing, and that's what the name of the game is.
But now that she's made this suggestion, and you've used...
Well, look, I told you before, I am not going to conduct the employment or use of my staff via the media. That's it.
But are you saying that you're unhappy raised it with the media rather than raising it with you?
But now you've got it in one. That's not how professionals act. That's not how I act.
So
if I'm going to deal with a staff matter, I'll deal with it with the staff myself. It's not a matter of negotiating things or doing your dialogue through the media. That's not how things happen in the first world.
So are you saying that Ms. Clark was being unprofessional?
No, I'm not saying a thing other than what I just told you. Please move on and get another line of questioning, please.
Isn't this a time to extend the olive branch and expect it to be extended back rather than, I mean, surely the public of New Zealand doesn't want to see this on the television screen?
Oh, well, of course the public doesn't want to see it because that was a manipulated deceit, a serious exercise in deceit by TV1. I was in Australia.
No olive branch?
Actually, I was in Australia yesterday. I'm in Australia, the day before rather, at a press conference. Someone raised the issue with me about America because he said... TV1 wants to keep this issue going. End of quotes. Now, what do you think of that?
Well, you chose to hold a press conference and you don't seem to be choosing to say, Dr. Beast, bury the hatchet, let's move on.
Well, I'm happy to bury the hatchet, but let me just tell you this. We're not going to put up with bad-mannered, rude behaviour anywhere in the world where New Zealand's interests are concerned.
Are you saying...
Full stop.
Are you saying...
The allegation was that I had seriously offended Senator McCain. He says that's untrue. He's calling that statement a lie. So am I.
Are you saying that TVNZ has lied about what happened in the US?
Yes, they have.
In what way? Detail how we've lied.
Well, what you've done, you've manipulated the tape that you have shown to ensure that the public has not got a full picture. That's why I'm pleased to say I'm suspending my trip to tonight. I'll go back much later. I want to go on the close-up program. I want New Zealanders to know the truth.
Do you accept that the tape will show...
Now, if you're from TV1, are you on close-up?
Do you accept...
Are you on close-up?
I've seen the tape a number of times.
Yeah, but are you associated with close-up?
I'm from Television New Zealand, as you well know.
Well, then, why aren't you waiting then to see the full transcript?
Because I've seen the tape, Mr. Peters. Do you accept that the tape will show that Senator McCain said anything to the New Zealand media, he was happy to talk to journalists?
Look, of course you'd say that. He's a man of immense courtesy. I count him as someone that we can work with. I think that's marvellous.
You don't think it would have been courteous then to leave him finish his sentence before interrupting?
Let me ask you this question. Why would you stop a bilateral meeting to have a press conference?
Because he stopped and said anything to the media.
No, he didn't stop it, as you well know. His staff was manipulated to ask whether there could be a couple of questions. That was surprised me, but even that I didn't mind.
So you now say New Zealand media manipulated Senator McCain's press secretary?
No doubt about that. He apologised to me on the exit from it. Not just in my presence, but in the presence of others. So don't tell me what he didn't just say to me. And more importantly, he went on to put a press statement out. Why would he want me to do that?
I think it's a press statement.
Because he saw that the situation was being awfully manipulated and misreported. And I'm very grateful to him for that.
So he put out a statement before it had actually been reported, though?
Pardon?
He put out the statement that it was reported.
Sorry. No, he didn't.
When did he put out the statement?
Well, you're the journalist. I mean, I don't know what the chronological event was.
Well, you said he put out the statement immediately saying that he wasn't offended.
No, he put out a statement when it became clear to him that the issue had been grossly, seriously distorted, perverted, and misrepresented.
And how did it become clear to him that it had been distorted? Was that yourself?
Well, perhaps you should ask his office.
What's the purpose of having this today?
The purpose is that you might know the truth rather than what you've been seeing.
So...
And you can go on and be...
If I'm going to play full
thing on Face Up Tonight. You think that the New Zealand public are going to know what you're saying is true.
Oh, if you think the New Zealand public believe your side of the story, you've got nothing coming. The New Zealand public has seen two things recently. They've seen the McCain denial, and they've seen Chris Hill's statement. It somewhat belies what you're saying.
Do you think the tape will show journalists behaving aggressively in a boorish manner?
What the tape will show, if it was properly interpreted from the inside information that we had as to what was going on, what the tape will show was that people who were told there was going to be a press conference after the meeting, which makes all the logic in the world, you know, surely you'd wait to see what the meeting actually, what occurred at the meeting before you want to ask questions. Why would you ever go to a bilateral meeting and want to ask questions before it started? Now, you tell me the logic about that.
Perhaps because you're invited.
That's sort of policy 101, isn't it?
Perhaps because you're invited to ask questions.
Oh, no, you weren't invited. That's a distortion. You sought an opportunity and you misrepresented what happened. That's exactly what happened.
Would you not expect journalists who have come halfway around the world to cover this meeting to ask a couple of questions?
Of course I would. That's what happened. That's why we said before the meeting happened that there was going to be a press conference after it. Why on earth would you hold it before the meeting? Thanks very much.